Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And a very subdued Three Martini Lunch today, along with Jim Garrity. I'm Greg Corumbus, and obviously the political world, the national focus, certainly on the tragedy in Tucson, Arizona on Saturday when I believe as many as 19 people were hit by the gunman. The suspect identified as Jared Lochner. Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords remains in critical condition. Six people are dead, including a federal judge and a 9-year-old girl, and many other people remain injured as a result of this. And obviously our normal tone will be changing today, Jim, but there is still some positive things to see out of this, and obviously a whole lot of negative. Starting with the positive, it's good to see, even in a very difficult political climate, that obviously the nation, obviously both political parties coming together to denounce this horrific and absolutely inexcusable activity, these murderous acts by Mr. Lochner, assuming that they have the right person, which it obviously seems that they do. But it's also good to see that in addition to pausing to honor those victims this week, as Congress will do, there's also a resolve to keep going, and that radicals and crazy people like this won't get the upper hand on those who have been called on to lead this country. Many people saying this. Here's Arizona Republican Congressman Trent Franks.
We cannot let a mindless, heartless murderer change our way of life. We cannot be intimidated by this. We've got to keep going forward and doing those things that are consummate with freedom. And I think Gabby Giffords, if she could speak to us today, would say exactly the same thing.
I think Congress probably shaken up more than any point since 9/11, and perhaps in some ways even more so since it was one of their own that was targeted here, Jim. But it's good to see people keeping things in perspective and pointing forward here as well.
It is, and you know, it's a thoroughly miserable day. It is just one of those days where I just didn't want to get out of bed, didn't like writing the morning jolt. No offense to you, not that enthusiastic about this three martini lunch.
Right.
Just having this sense of knowing that there's this palpable sense of gloom over one deranged individual's choices and the thing, that how much pain and suffering is brought to so many people. As you're right, I think there is, we can take a little bit of solace in the fact that we're seeing so many folks across the aisle kind of come together about this and recognize, you know, that this is a time to just stop for a moment. Just kind of realize how precious life is. And I think we'll get to talk a little bit more about this in a moment. But I'd say almost all of these serious people, almost all the people who we have come to expect maturity from, are demonstrating maturity. And I'd say that what we're seeing, the more antagonistic and explosive comments, are mostly coming from people who we've come to not expect great things from, with one very notable figure right in the middle of the investigation, unfortunately.
Absolutely right, and that's our second martini, if we can use that phrase, in a mood like this, in a climate like this. But it's the Pima County Sheriff, who's been there since 1980. He's been in law enforcement for about 50 years by his own account, and he spoke on Saturday night and basically in a lot of ways blamed what he called political vitriol, just the coarsening of America's political culture and dialogue on perhaps providing some sort of fuel for Mr. Lochner's decisions to act out in a very deranged and evil way. He followed up with an interview with a number of outlets, as I'm sure most of you have seen over the last couple of days. This one was with the Fox News Channel's Megyn Kelly, where it seemed like the sheriff, Clarence Dupnik here, taking it beyond the general vitriolic and just bad climate on both sides of the aisle in a lot of ways, to really making it even more political than it should have been.
And it used to be that politicians from different parties could sit down, forget about their ideology, and work on the country's problems. We don't see that happening today. As a matter of fact, we see just the opposite. We see one party trying to block the attempts of another party to make this a better country.
So going from vague to basically kind of blaming those who are in opposition to the current agenda, or at least until the new Congress was sworn in, the previous agenda, that is not helping bring people together, and certainly not helping complete the investigation.
Ironic, he says this right after the bipartisan cooperation on the tax deal, huh, Greg?
Right.
You know, that he's lamenting that one party is trying to stop the other party, and we have that recent example of bipartisan cooperation. Look, I realize this sheriff has just seen two of his friends shot, one murdered, one hanging on by a thread, an absolute terrible massacre within his jurisdiction. I understand emotions are raw, and he's speaking off the cuff, and things may not come out perfectly right. However, at this moment, he has a duty, and that duty is to collect evidence and put things together for the prosecution of a suspect who I think, you know, it's not like there's any other there's been some discussion of a potential accomplice, but there's not like there's any doubt that this was the figure who was firing the shots. So he has a job to do, and that job does not include opining on the state of the nation or bewailing the state of one party versus another. In today's Washington Post, they talked to one of his friends, former Senator DeConcini, who says that he really wanted to name names, and the names are who you'd expect, Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and such, and only his sensibilities prevented him from naming names. If he doesn't grasp that if he's doing precisely what he accuses the other side of doing, of inflaming and rubbing raw partisan tensions in this country. But secondly, look, his job is not a political figure. He's not a senator. He's not a congressman. You know, he is a sheriff, and his first duty is to the law. And I wish he would get his mind focused on that instead of how angry he is at right-wing talk radio and every other figure who he's decided to make the boogeyman in this scenario.
Exactly right. And it seems as though a lot of people, and some of them are the people you mentioned before, acted in the way, unfortunately, we expected them to act in certain media outlets. Seemingly have decided to come together and really try to blame Sarah Palin for this. You mentioned Limbaugh and Beck and how they'll certainly be factored into this debate as time goes on and already have in a lot of ways. But in a lot of these Sunday morning talk shows, her call to not retreat but reload during the healthcare debate, every time she said that is not a call to violence. It's a call to bring people to the polls and make change through the democratic process that has been the hallmark of the greatest country in the world for well over 200 years now. Yet there seems to be just a mission here on the part of some to try and drag her down with this.
It is, and I have a strong suspicion that this is, I don't know if a desperation move is the right tone. But you heard, you know, earlier in the year, Mark Penn speculating that Barack Obama needed his own Oklahoma City incident. I believe it was Mark Helpern who talked about how Bush had 9/11 had such an impact on his approval ratings, and kind of insinuating that Obama needed something like that. Those were guys just speaking off the cuff and cloddishly. However, with the anonymous Democratic consultant telling Politico that they need to definitely pin this on the Tea Parties, look, we know what's going on here, and I think it's more transparent. And I have a suspicion that this is – I will be disturbed when I see this being echoed in genuinely mainstream sources. And I'm a little bit irked when I see the Wolf Blitzers of the world saying that they're hearing something on Twitter and Facebook. These questions are being raised. Well, any old idiot can get on Twitter and Facebook. I'm an idiot on Twitter and Facebook. You know, just because I put something out there doesn't necessarily mean that it is you know, legitimate or worthwhile or worth a major news network discussing, you know, looking at this. We have established absolutely no connection between the gunman and Sarah Palin. We haven't established any connection between the gunman and any other political figure. So the idea that any political figure should be watching what they say because it might be just the right word that sets a lunatic off is – effectively cut up the First Amendment and say, we're now giving veto power over our public discourse to people who are literally insane. If we do that, we're the insane ones.
No kidding. And, you know, the deranged will find a reason to act in a deranged way. It doesn't take some sort of outside source who has no connection to the person whatsoever to be the blame for that. But that's where we'll hold it for today. Obviously, the biggest thing is our condolences to the families of those who are lost and our prayers for those who continue to fight for their lives, including Congresswoman Giffords. Jim, obviously a very different type of a lunch today for us, but important to do, and we'll certainly be following this for a long time to come.
Greg, all I can do right now is, you know, pray for all those who have been hurt and hope for maximum sentence for the shooter. And I don't know about you, I'm hoping for a nice, cheery sex scandal or something tomorrow. We have something very completely different to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Let's hope for something a little more lighthearted. And even those topics aren't always that lighthearted, but we'll try to do that as time goes on here. Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.